What a privilege and honor it is to be with you here today to share this amazing ministry in Africa. Thanks to the missions committee here and all of you who contribute to that, I think this is possibly the third year that I've received a nice check from them to carry on this ministry of love in Rwanda, Africa. I started this project in 2009, where I was working with a Christian ministry working with widows, and one of the widows had this condition called elephantiasis. There was no one in the community that was working with this population, and funny how God places you where he needs you to be, because I have a special skill as a physical therapist. I also am certified in lymphatic management. And I thought, I think I can help these people. And it all began. So the project initially was called the Imedito Project. We've recently changed the name to Heart and Soul Africa because we want to expand our services into the Congo and Uganda, where we know people are suffering as well. You see a picture here of Rwanda. It's a beautiful, lush country, very mountainous. But it is in this soil that causes the problem for the people that I work with. Next slide. This is called podocaniosis, and it means dusty foot in Latin. As you can see, this person's foot is very deformed, has lots of problems with buildup, bacterial, fungal infections, and this is caused from that fertile soil of volcanic regions. There's a high silica concentration in the soil. This is a microscopic glass that works up through the bottom of their feet and causes this condition of the lymphatics. It's a chronic condition. There's no cure, but we can make it a lot better. Next. So this is one of our patients. As you can see, her legs are very large. You can see in her face how she suffers. These people are disabled. They have difficulty finding work. They also are ostracized from their communities. They're cast out, pariahs, unable to marry. So this is a real problem for them. And it's through no fault of their own that they have this condition. This condition is caused by not wearing shoes and having chronic exposure in the fields where they're hoeing crops by hand. Next. So in about 5 years ago, I met a young man in Rwanda. His name was John Paul Bikorimana. He had just graduated from college as a physical therapist, and he was looking for a job. And I was looking for someone to help me. So I trained him in a couple of weeks, and he was able to start opening our doors full time, 365 days a year. And things really started to grow from there. This is my leadership team. Jen has a degree in land management, but she is my prevention education manager and runs our sewing program. Next to her is Josie. She's our newest addition, also a physical therapist. John Paul, who runs our program. Next to him is Esperanza. She runs our Animal Opportunity Fund, and you'll learn more about that. Next to her is Thomas, my oldest friend and our country director and our CFO. And Jocelyn at the other end is our sewing instructor. These people have a real heart for this ministry. Next. So when I was there in August, we did our strategic planning, which we do every year. We have 5 programs that we run year-round, and it takes a lot of planning because we do this on very little dollars. We set our goals, and we start to implement the programs as best we can with the funds that are available. Next. So we changed our vision and mission with the change of our name, and our new vision is to eradicate podoconiosis in our lifetime. And we do that through compassionate service, health education, and community empowerment. And then we established 5 core values to help guide us. Next. This is Derek. Derek walked from Uganda. It was about 10 miles to our satellite clinic, and he is 18 years old. And if you look at this young man, you can tell what his future is going to be like. Not very good. But he found us, and we found him. So his life is going to be changed almost immediately, actually. He's in treatment. He is being treated every day. We have him in our clinic for 3 months, and I'm hoping to see great improvement. But he also will be a part of our income generating and skill development programs. This young man came to me with his head down to the ground, wouldn't even look in my eyes. But I assured him that through this program and through God's love, we were going to help him, and we will. And thanks to people like yourselves. Next. Supplies are really important. I take specialty supplies in when I go. I go about every 8 months. And they're very expensive. This closet of supplies is about $3,000 to $5,000 worth of supplies. And we also distribute soap twice a month. We give everyone a personal basin. Next slide, please. Compression is part of our treatment. So we make sure they have good skin hygiene. We provide specialty bandaging for compression. Exercise helps to remove fluid. But again, this is a chronic condition, so it takes a lot of maintenance therapies. Next slide. This is our satellite clinic. This young man is distributing soap. We do that twice a month. And to the extent that we give, the medical service is free. And the supplies are free. But we are definitely a hand-up organization, so we try to provide as much opportunity to earn your own income as possible. Next slide. And also, we try to train other people to help each other. So in other words, these two young women have this condition, and we trained this young lady to help with bandaging so that we can serve more people. Right now, we're serving 420 to 30 people with podoconiosis, but we're impacting 1,000 because all of these people have brothers, sisters, families. Next. So how do we get rid of this? Well, we prevent it. Prevention is the best treatment. So prevention education is extremely important, and we have a whole team that is committed to that. We teach in the primary schools where we can really change the thinking of the young people, third, fourth, and fifth grade. As you can see, they are very attentive, and they were very, very intrigued by the whole thing. So we make them the teachers, and they're the ones who are going to help us eradicate this horrible condition. Next. This condition is 100% preventable by wearing shoes. If you wear shoes or boots while working in the fields, you will never, ever get this condition. And this is the word and the mantra that we spread throughout the region. Next. So speaking about opportunities and skill development programs, the first attempt at this was an animal opportunity fund. We formed a committee of their peers. And if you would like an animal, we'll provide one for you, but you have to sign a contract. That contract ensures that when your first offspring is born, that you give us back that offspring so that we can redistribute that throughout the PODO community. This has been a wonderful program. We're somewhere in the range of 170 animals out right now. They can choose from goats, sheep, chickens, rabbits. We had some pigs, but they're really expensive to feed, so we decided to to just stick with goats and sheep, and all you need for a goat is a stake and a rope, because there's plenty of grass to eat around there. So it's worked out wonderfully well. And some people might ask, well, won't they just eat it? Well, they might if they're that hungry. But we hope to provide the opportunity, and if they're that hungry, we want to help them short term until they can get on their feet. Next. And here's a happy person. She had twins on her first go-round. Next. So this is our sewing center. This is new. We are renting the space, but this is housing our shoe factory and our sewing center. And those are our students out front. Next. This is one of our sewing instructors. We have 10 students in our sewing program, and they're making bags out of these beautiful Congolese fabrics. But they're learning a skill, and they're also exercising their feet to be able to move fluid. So that's definitely a win-win. Next slide. Here's one of our young ladies. You can see that she's in bandages, and she's using a treadle machine, which again helps to remove fluid. And she's learning a great skill to use for a lifetime. Next slide. These are just little templates where our shoe factory students began. They are going through a 3-month program. This curriculum was developed by my program director and students from Amherst College. Next slide, please. These are the leaders of the GlobeMed Amherst Partnership, and they were with me in August in Rwanda to help implement the beginning of this shoe factory. So, great partnership, young, enthusiastic, smart women and men that are helping us with this, and we're forever grateful to them. Next slide, please. So here's our instructor. He has a really good industrial strength sewing machine to sew leather. Next slide. And these are our students. We have 10 students right now. So once they graduate from our program, they can either start their own small business, or they can continue to work for us and produce products that we can retail sell to raise money that comes back into our programs. Next slide. Here's the shoemaking class. They look pretty happy there. Next slide. And this is Damascene. He's actually our People's Organization president. He has some of the biggest legs I've ever seen. He looks, they call it elephantiasis, he looks like he has elephant legs. But he is a very happy man and joyful. Those are his first pair of shoes that he just made, and a very proud moment for him. Next slide. And there's a finished product. So many of these people actually have to have custom shoes made for them because they cannot wear regular size shoes. So we're hoping through this program that they'll be able to buy custom shoes at a very low cost to them, probably just supplies, and then they'll have some shoes that they can wear until they get better, and we hope they get better. Next slide. As we continue to grow as a program, we're reaching further and further beyond my little income and private donations, reaching out to other organizations that are doing this type of work. This is Dr. Gail Davey and Dr. Kibede. They're both from Ethiopia, where they're serving 1 million people with this condition. That's only 1 million of 8 to 9 million people in the world that have this condition in developing countries. So we're very excited to be partnering with them. They're helping us map Rwanda so that we know how many people are out there that need this service, and also in an effort to help, to know that we have no new cases, collecting that data. Because again, our vision is to eradicate this condition in our lifetime. Next slide. So what we give is hope. These people from the very beginning in 2009 to this year of 2017, I've seen a transformation from just absolute despair to we have hope. And that is what you are doing with your contributions to the mission committee. I know quite often you're not even really sure where your money is going. Well, this is where your money's going, and it's doing fantastic work, and I'm very appreciative of it, as they are. And in the last slide, they wanted to be sure that I said, greetings from Africa, and Merikozi Chani, which means thank you very much. This is John Paul Bikorimana. He's the physical therapist and program director. And if you look real closely, you can see he's wearing a Mason, Texas hat. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
All right. We think about time a lot of times as a line, a timeline. And so there's a beginning, right? As time goes on, that beginning kind of gets older. And we think about maybe there's an end to time. But actually, this new part that's just coming out is kind of like a beginning. Right? It's the newest part. So we have a beginning that's kind of like an old ending, and then we have an ending that's kind of like a beginning. So what the church did was take the ending that's like a beginning and the beginning that's like an ending and tie them together to make a circle so that we would remember that for every beginning, there's an ending. But for every beginning, there's also an ending. And so the circle, the church year, the calendar of the church year is like a big circle. And so we're going to start it up here. You may have noticed that there are colors around. And if you have a color somewhere around you, when it gets time, we'll have you stand up. And there may be some towards the edge that you need to shift over and help us with. But we have three great mysteries, three great times in the church year. One is Easter. Okay, it has a cross there. And one is Christmas right here. And then we have Pentecost. Pentecost way back there. That's a red one, right? And so every year we walk through these great times in the church year. But we don't always know exactly what's there because it takes time to come close to these great mysteries. So let's see what we have in the circle of the church here. So first, we begin with Advent. So if you'll stand up, we're just going to make a big circle and face in and hold up your purple. So the beginning of the church year is Advent, and it has four Sundays, and they're purple. Purple is the color of kings, of royalty. And a king is about to be born. And so we're preparing for the coming of this king. And that takes time. Now, in the mystery of Christmas, this child is born. This mystery that God chose Mary to be the mother of God. That God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so it's such a great mystery that it takes another week. We celebrate for 12 days, and so it takes another white Sunday. Well, stay standing. We need you all to stay standing, so we have this big circle. So after Christmas, we have Epiphany, the time when we celebrate that the Magi came from far away, which helps us to remember that Jesus didn't come just for the people right there at that time. Jesus came for people from all over and all times. And so Epiphany begins, and we have these green Sundays. Now, Epiphany can last anywhere from 4 to 9 Sundays. This year, it will have 6. And so actually it begins with a white Sunday, which is the baptism of our Lord, and then has four green Sundays. And then we have a white Sunday for Transfiguration that brings Epiphany to a close. Thank you. And that brings us up to the time when we're ready to begin to get ready for the mystery of Easter. And so we begin some purple Sundays. Do we have some folks that could, oh, thank you. The time of Lent, which is purple also, is 6 weeks long. It's longer than Advent because it takes longer to get ready for Easter, because Easter is such a greater mystery. Again, it's the color of royalty, because a king was coming, but not the kind of king that people expected to come. And so at the end of Lent, we come to Easter. And on Easter, we have this tremendous mystery that Jesus died on the cross, which is very sad, but it is also wonderful in an Easter kind of way, because he rose from the dead. And Easter is such a great mystery that it keeps on going for six more Sundays. So we should have six more white Sundays in there, as the disciples still met Jesus, but in a different way. And so he was with them during this time. But one day, outside of Jerusalem, Jesus was with the disciples in this new way. And then Jesus went up into heaven. And then a few days later, on Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit came down. You can stay right there. That's perfect. God's Holy Spirit came down. And so the disciples felt as if their tongues were on fire. They couldn't help but speak about the good news of Jesus Christ. And the room was filled with wind and fire, it seemed, and the church was born. The disciples went out, and they couldn't help but share the good news of Christ. And so the word of God spread like wildfire among the area. And so the color for Pentecost is red. Now, after Pentecost, we have a lot of green growing Sundays. I see all those green growing Sundays. They're going to come all the way around here. Yeah. Does anybody know what the season after Pentecost is called? The season after Pentecost. Yeah. It's the Sundays after Pentecost. And so they start around in the spring. The spring is coming to an end, and the summer begins. And then as we go on, summer ends and fall begins, and the days start to get shorter and shorter, and it gets dark earlier and earlier. And so as we go through and fall changes to winter, it seems as if the light is just about to go out this time of year. But then we come again to Advent, a time when we celebrate the light of Christ coming into the world. And so here is the circle of the church year. Everything we need, the life of Christ, the colors that we celebrate that help us to celebrate and to worship. And then we see that for every ending, there's a new beginning. And for every beginning, there is an ending. Now, next Sunday, we come to Advent, a time when we prepare for the coming of the Christ child into the world. And it's already begun. You can see there are people rushing around, putting up decorations and shopping and planning parties and food and all of those things. And that's all good. But it's easy for us to miss the mystery of Christmas during that time. It takes preparation. And so I pray that during this time of Advent, in these weeks to come, that you will truly prepare your heart and your mind for the coming of the Christ child into the world and for the presence of Christ in your life each and every day. Thank you.
Each one of you represented a week. And so now as we prepare our hearts and our minds and take time to thank Tanya and Carol Ann, we're going to sing our last hymn.